You know, when you come to know the Lord, as Gary was talking to us about, you're actually in pretty rough company. Moses was a murderer, was he not? Saul of Tarsus stood by and held a coach while they stoned Stephen to death. David, what can we say about David? Preacher friend of mine told me years ago, he was talking about, he said, David really had a problem with women, didn't he? I said, well, I suppose he did. The thing about it is that in this new covenant that we're so interested in takes care of all of our sins, not only those external overt sins, but those things that we know plague us and will plague us throughout our lifetime. To borrow a phrase from an old hymn, "How Firm a Foundation," I would say in these closing comments, what more can I say to you than the brethren have said to you who for refuge to Jesus hath fled? I said when I started this conference off that the Bible is a hymn book. It is about Him. And I use those three terms, Christocentric, Christotelic, and Christotestic. The scripture says that Christ must have the first place. The word translated preeminence may be translated first place in the scripture. He's the centerpiece. Christocentric. Christ is the focus and the ultimate goal of scripture. Christotelic. And the person and work of Christ is the testimony of Scripture, Christotestic. So every book, every chapter, every verse, every text in some way speaks of Him. Every person, every event, and every office, and even every name somehow points to Him. And as Dr. Long has told us, Pentecost is all about Him. The languages spoken there in Acts chapter 2 were, quote, of the wonderful works of God. And had they known the melody, their theme would have been, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Zachary Maxey has told us that we don't need to look to creeds, but to Scripture. We don't throw out the Old Testament, but we look for Him there. After all, He has said, these are they which testify of me. Dr. Gentry said that the Davidic covenant, as well as the house of David, can only find their fulfillment in Him, the Lord of David, and yet David's Lord. And as he reminded us, we don't need another David when we have the rod out of the stem of Jesse. We don't need another temple. Jesus is the temple. Dr. Stephen Wellam has joined his voice to that proclamation. He said the Davidic king has become the true Israel. And Israel after the flesh is not the key which unlocks Scripture, but rather Christ is. And our brother Gary George has told us that the greatest abuse of the Scriptures is not to preach the glorious gospel found therein. Why should we tell people to do when it's already done? Why should we constrain people by law when the love of Christ should constrain them? Why do we want to play an old and fading covenant when we have a new and better covenant? And that's what Joe Kelly told us. And oh my, Dr. Kirk Wellam showed us how much of Isaiah is in Matthew, the seed that was randomly scattered shall nevertheless yield fruit according to the will of God, saved by grace, yet responsible to receive that seed, and persevering in the faith, and yet when you persevere, He's persevering in you. When you're preserved, you're preserved by the grace of God. Do we need a Sabbath day? Do we need a Lord's Day? That's what Dr. Tony Costa talked to us about. No, we rest in Him 7 days a week. For us, all ground is holy ground and every bush is a burning bush. That was the excellent study presented to us by Dr. Costa. And then Elder Mike Smith reminded us all of redemptive history, that redemptive history culminates in Christ. And that when we take the cup of blessing, when we partake of the Lord's Supper cup, we are in fact reminded of Him, reminded of His sufferings for us, and that He brought it all to us in this new covenant by the shedding of His precious blood. And what shall we say about the study we heard this morning from Dr. Griever? How effectively and systematically and theologically given. We gave all men hope. I saw that. He gives all men hope. And he reduced, I've said this for years, here in Nashville, one of the reasons behind the name of this church, Grace Church at Franklin, you know, Charles Spurgeon aligned himself with what group of people? Baptist people. Well, what was the name of the church over there that he pastored? It's called Metropolitan Tabernacle. There was a reason for that. And there's a reason why this church is called Grace Church at Franklin, because way back in the late 60s and early 70s, there was a, quote, liberal movement among all the churches here. Now, personally, I don't believe in liberal churches. I believe you're either a believer or you're an unbeliever. I don't think there's anything in between. Now, we might differ some on these things that we believe, but if you don't believe the Scripture, you're not a liberal. You are an unbeliever. And so we didn't want to be part of that, and we believe in the grace of God. We're in Franklin. We're a church, hence Grace Church at Franklin. And we learned this morning that the Gentiles who had no hope, who were aliens from God, separated from the commonwealth of Israel, nevertheless have the same hope as the physical seed of Abraham. And I thought about when Christ was talking to those Jews over there in the Gospel of John, and He kept saying to them, "You're of your father." Well, our father's God. Well, you're of your father. Well, Abraham's our father. And you know, He used two terms there. He used the term sperma, and He used the term technon. And He finally said, "I know you're of the sperm of Abraham, but you're not of the technon of Abraham. You're not the children. You're not the spiritual children of Abraham. You may can trace your lineage back to him physically, but not in his spirit." Those are the things that we've learned this week. What more can I say to you than these men, these servants of the Most High God, have said to us? And what does this mean to us on a practical level? Just very quickly, here in Luke chapter 24. When our Lord Jesus, after His resurrection from the dead, opened the Scriptures to two men on the road to Emmaus, this is what the record says that He showed them. Verse 25, He said to them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And of course, we know, very basic at this time, there was no New Testament. There was only Genesis through Malachi, the 39 books of the Old Testament. And yet the Lord showed them Himself in all of those Old Testament books. So the Scriptures are Christocentric, Christotelic, and Christotestic. It's all about Him. When Saul of Tarsus was converted by the resurrected Messiah, by the way, I happen to believe, you know, a lot of scholars say that Saul's thorn in the flesh was his eyesight. It might be. If it was his eyesight, it's because when Christ blinded him, when He converted him, when he saw that blinding light, he never got over it. That's what caused that problem, if that was his problem. Well, when he was converted by the resurrected Messiah, while on the way to Damascus, after a few days with the disciples, he spent 3 years in Arabia before returning to Jerusalem to see Peter, according to Galatians 1. And when he returned, his entire hermeneutical system had changed from a Mosaic rendering of Scripture to a Christocentric point of view. And there wasn't any New Testament. So he saw Christ everywhere in the Old Testament. And he said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So what have we learned this week? Well, we've learned a lot. I've just touched the highlights of what these men have talked to us about. When Christ said, you search the scriptures, John 5:39, and them you think you have eternal life, to use the plural there, as Tony pointed out last night, tos graphos. He talked about the Old Testament scriptures as a whole, and the New Testament could not testify because they had not yet been written. And when our Lord opened the minds of these two men on the road to Emmaus, he did not begin with Matthew. He began at Moses. And he showed them in Moses and all the prophets, all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So, brethren, we can't do any better than to try to find Christ wherever we are in the scripture. He showed them himself in the Old Testament scriptures. He's the seed of the woman. He's the cornerstone and the sure foundation. He's the Passover lamb. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He's the ram who was sacrificed in the place of Isaac. He's the root of Jesse. He's the manna from heaven. He's the rock which quenched the thirst of Israel. He's Solomon's apple tree. He's Malachi's messenger. He's Aaron's rod that budded. And as the writer to the Hebrews says at the end of the 11th chapter, time will not afford me the opportunity to tell you more about him, because he's the whole Bible. He's the scripture. He's everything in it. We've learned this week that the whole law hangs upon the two great commandments in Matthew 22 and not the other way around. That's important. But we can't even keep those two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. There's only one person that's ever done that. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Your whole salvation must be in him, all in him. Ought we to love the Lord our God? Certainly. Ought we to love our neighbor as ourselves? Yes, but we haven't. And you don't get brownie points by saying amen, that's the right thing to do. You have to do it. And only one person has ever done that, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Then the last thing I would say that we've learned is we've learned that the New Testament gives samples and examples, but these are not limited. The New Testament, these samples and these examples are not limited. These are not to, I'd say it this way, these are not to limit our understanding and application of the Old Testament Christologically. In other words, when Paul said the rock was Christ and water came out of the rock, when he said that the manna from heaven, those are examples and samples, but that doesn't mean, and I know people that will not use any illustrations of Christ in the Old Testament unless they're used in the New. And I believe he's everywhere in everything, as I've already said. He's in every text. He's in every preacher. He's in every prophet. He's in every verse. He's everywhere. The whole scripture is a hymn book. He's everywhere in everything. And I thank the Lord for all of the studies that have been done this week. Let's pray. Our Father, we call upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for all of the blessings that we've received this week. Thank you for every brother who has come and spoken to us out of your word. Thank you for the gifts that you've given them, the talents that you've given these men to exegete your word, to open it up. Thank you for their labors, and we pray for them wherever they are, however they labor, that you will bless them and that you will bless them for the sake of your Son. We desire to see Christ, our Lord, lifted up. We desire to see him glorified. We desire to see men drawn to him, as Brother Gary has told us. Father, we ask you now to bless us as we fellowship and as we partake again. We've not only enjoyed feasting on Christ, but I've also feasted on the wonderful food and the things that have been prepared for us by the ladies of this church. We thank you for them. Now we ask you, Lord, to bless us. We thank you for this conference. We thank you for Dr. Gary Long and Barbara, without whom we would not have had this meeting. We thank you, Lord, for their labors and pray that you will be pleased to grow the Providence Theological Seminary, that you'll send students. We thank you for the students that we have online and the internet students, but we'd like to see, Lord, our desire is to see some students here so that we might can develop a campus and a school. Not for our glory, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy great name give glory. Thank you for all these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen.